welcome to the Entertainment Docket for the week of June 25th. I am your co-host, Michael Staley, and alongside me is the lovely, talented, and ready to be on the move again, Melissa Hansen.
Hello, everyone.
We've both been traveling quite a bit, so the sound on the podcast may sound a little strange just depending on where we're recording it, but damn it if we aren't here to bring you all of the news that's fit to print.
Oh, yay. I'm sure they're so excited for that.
Yeah. So what has your week in entertainment looked like?
I blasted through another TV series, well, one season, Downton Abbey.
On DVD?
People have been talking about. I watched it on Netflix.
Oh, okay.
And it's on Netflix and Hulu, the first season. The second season just finished airing, I think like in April.
Okay.
Over here on this side of the pond. but that the second season will be available Hulu and Netflix in a couple weeks. But yeah, this is the big, it's a British series that was shown on PBS, you know, Masterpiece Theater here in the States. And it was great. I mean, so many people I know have been talking about it. So I wanted to check it out and I see why they're talking about it.
Nice.
Really interesting. It's set in a huge estate in England.
Huh.
And it's right before like World War I. And it's a family. It's a couple and their three grown daughters. The youngest is just barely grown. And then all of their servants and staff. And you kind of see from both sides, upstairs, downstairs, kind of thing. And just, it's kind of their life, including, like I said, you know, all the servants, you kind of see what their life is like. And it's a little bit soap opera, you know, kind of relationships and who's falling in love and who's trying to screw over who and that kind of stuff. But it's really neat in the setting, you know, it's something a little different, that way.
Yeah.
And the biggest thing is that, the mother-in-law character who lives kind of on the grounds there is played by Maggie Smith.
Oh, fantastic. I love
her. Who just, of course, pretty much blows everybody out of the water. But there's some great actors who are able to kind of hold their own with her.
Nice.
But really interesting. Like I said, I mean, it's a period timepiece, but it's not a really, you know, dry, boring one. It's really interesting, and you just really kind of fall in love with some of the characters and kind of fall in hate with some of the characters, too, which is always fun.
Ooh. Yeah. Now, there have been some high-profile celebrities who have gotten in this. I know Patton Oswalt was tweeting every time he watched an episode, he would live tweet it.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, this past winter, like, everybody was into this.
Yeah.
And, again, I'm, you know, way behind, but I'm agreeing with everyone at least.
You know, that's the great thing about streaming media is you have the ability to catch up.
Exactly.
And to transition a little bit, I caught up in a major way. I watched Jim Henson's Labyrinth for the first time.
Oh,
yesterday.
Really? So okay.
I had not, and you know me, I am one of the biggest Jim Henson fans on the planet. I had never seen it. This was Jim Henson and George Lucas doing this together.
Mm-hmm.
And Jim at one of his kind of at his artistic zenith. I mean, he did all of these great experimental puppetry things. There's a scene where Jennifer Connelly falls down a well and it's nothing but hands grabbing at her. And then the hands, the puppeteers move their hands and make faces out of their hands.
Yeah, there's some really cool effects.
Awesome.
In there, but not like special effects.
Right. It's all practical. But man, was that story boring as shit. Oh, my God. I sat here and I'm like, what am I missing?
You're going to get hate mail because I know there are some people that will, like, defend this to their death.
I know. It's just – it was so frustrating for me. I'm like, am I not in the right mood? Am I not – what am I not seeing here?
And really over the top kind of thing. And I think, if you saw it when it was out and when you were younger
– maybe.
And thought it was cool, like, you still love it today.
Yeah.
I think you missed your window of opportunity.
Maybe.
For it. It's just too late. You had to be at that age and in that time period to appreciate it. And people who do, you know, love it now.
Yeah, it's just, it's not timeless. You know, you'd expect something. I can go back and watch the Muppet movie, which was 1979.
That's true.
And love it still today. I watched it not too long ago with my nieces and nephew. But this is so 80s.
Yeah, I think kids today would see Labyrinth and be like, what the hell?
I think you're right.
Yeah.
It's just,
that's the difference.
I still have Dark Crystal. Dark Crystal was another one I haven't seen, and that's also on Netflix, and I have to watch that. I'm going to do that this week, so maybe I'll talk about that next week. But we'll talk
about that one.
I'm not holding out hope with this one making me so disappointed.
But how many guys our age are still in love with Jennifer Connelly?
Oh, and Jennifer is just as beautiful and charming now as she ever has been, so...
Right. And we do have to mention David Bowie also stars.
Well, I mean, come on.
Just is insane.
Yeah. I mean, his costume changes alone in this were just, you know. Oh, yeah, he was chewing scenery at every bit. And it's his own music. He wrote his own music for this. And, you know, more power to him. I love David Bowie. And there's a great little movie with Jeff Goldblum and Michelle Pfeiffer called End of the Night. Which was set in Los Angeles. It's and Bowie plays this hitman bad guy, which is just one of my favorite performances of his of all times. And it's about the same time. It's late 80s.
Okay, well, I'm glad you finally saw it, so at least you know what people are talking about.
Yeah, it's off my list now, right? My embarrassment list of things I've never seen.
That's good.
Yeah. All right, moving on. Let's look at the box office this week, because there was a certain little Pixar film that kind of overwhelmingly took everybody to the cleaners.
Oh, yeah. Shocking. A Pixar film. Did well. Yeah, so Brave came in number one. Not only did it come in number one, almost $67 million.
Not a critical favorite.
It's not. It's, you know what, everybody that I know who's not a professional critic has loved it.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Loved it. But yeah, it's summer. Kids are out of school looking for something to do. Yeah. But I think it's a sign here, because number two is Madagascar 3, which is people I know have seen it have not liked it. But it's still in there.
Swear to God, my eldest niece and nephew have been running around. I guess there's a commercial on TV where it's like Afro Circus or something like this. They're like, Afro Circus, Afro Circus. And they sing it all the time. I'm like, what are you doing? Stop it. They're like, it's the commercial. So,
okay. Well, who needs the movie? We have the commercial.
Right.
There you go. Oh, well. But number three, let's completely change gears here. And with $16.5 million, Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter.
Which, to me, if I'm Tim Burton and Timur Benikoff, I'd be a little disappointed.
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah, I don't know, but this movie is so not for people.
Yeah. It's really a niche audience kind of thing, but still 16 just seems kind of paltry.
Yeah. I wonder what it costs to make. That's really what matters.
Yeah, well, that's
true. How much they're actually going to make on it overall. I don't know. I'm kind of impressed it came in third, because like you said, there's a lot of people who just the title, they are never going to walk into the theater on this one.
Yeah, well, that's true.
So, and also along those same lines, Prometheus came in number four, only $10 million, but it's over $100 million already.
Okay.
So it's in there. And then Snow White and the Huntsman in fifth. So yeah, so we had like kid stuff and then we had really dark stuff. Right now, yeah, Snow White and the Huntsman had $8 million. So it's hanging in there. And it just beat out Rock of Ages.
Which, man, that movie is a disaster.
Very sad. Yeah, it hasn't even made $30 million yet.
So much for Tom Cruise's drawing power.
Yeah, yeah. It's too bad because, man, they've been hyping this thing forever. Yeah. And maybe that's part of the problem.
Yeah.
They've been hyping it for people already sick of it, you know, before it came out.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're heading into the halfway point right now with the 4th of July holiday, and it has not been an overly impressive summer.
No.
I mean, aside from a handful of a couple,
at the end kind of what ends up being the biggest of the summer, but
yeah.
Nothing's kind of blown it away so far.
No. Well, to answer your question about Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter, the budget was $70 million.
Wow. So, yeah. I mean, I'll obviously make it back and then some, but... Yeah.
And then tack on marketing and stuff.
Right.
So...
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm sure not all they wanted, but, you know, not horrible either.
The other new movie that opened this week was the apocalyptic comedy, Seeking a Friend at the End of the World.
Yes.
And I don't think it really kind of showed up on the radar, did it?
No, it's number 10. For the week or for the weekends. Yeah. But it didn't even make $4 million. Oof.
Well, that'll be something that'll do well on DVD. I'm sure.
Again, I bet it will.
Yeah.
I bet it's, you know, again, it's not going to lose money.
Right.
Especially once it's out on disc and streaming. But yeah, very disappointing for a, you know, Steve Carell movie.
I know.
And he's not Brad Pitt, but still, come on, he's Steve Carell. Like, he should be doing better than that. But
Keira Knightley's in that too, so.
Unfortunately, yeah. Yeah, it's a decent cast. It's not like an unknown cast.
Right.
So.
Anyways, well, this coming week, we've got four very character-driven tales. So it's nothing big blockbuster-ish, no remakes, no, you know, whatever. Although there is a sequel in here. But let's start with the obvious one, which is Hollywood Hard Bodies, both gay and straight, playing male strippers in Magic Mike.
Yes. And so this is Channing Tatum's big thing.
It's his pseudo-life story, correct?
It's his supposed life story. Now, part of the problem that's coming out right now is there are other male strippers who he worked with who are saying, bullshit, all our stories. He only worked for like a few months. This is ridiculous. This is our stories, not his to be telling.
Nice.
And they're going to like sue him and whatever.
Oh, of course.
So good luck with that. But yeah, it starts Channing Tatum, and who was before he became famous actor, it was a male stripper, and he has no problem letting people know that. So there's nothing wrong with that.
That's right.
And so this is, you kind of based some on that. He didn't write it himself, but he produced it. Yeah, kind of based on that time in his life. And it also stars Matthew McConaughey.
And Matt Balmer, and oh, there's a handful of other.
There's a few. Lumia Munn is in it.
Okay. Yeah.
And Alex Pettifer.
Yes.
I Am Number 4.
Right.
Isn't that too? I'm probably going to see it next weekend with my girl.
Yes, I have a feeling there's going to be a large female audience. That,
Suck on that.
And a gay male. Not to take away the gay male appeal. To
that's true.
Too,
so. That's true. I'm just, it doesn't look great. It looks fun, to be honest.
Yeah.
And I'm actually literally talking with my girlfriends about seeing it next weekend.
There you go. Well,
I'm not embarrassed to say that.
Well, you can report back to us then.
I will.
And the number two this week is, and I am sick of this man, but I've met him and he's from New England, so I cannot put him down. Seth MacFarlane, Mr. Family Guy himself, gets his
first. Oh, I'm not from New England. I'll put him down.
Gets his first.
I know a few people who know him, and
anyways, this is his first live action film, and I don't know how he got him to do this, but Mark Wahlberg is starring in this.
And his co-star is a teddy bear.
His childhood teddy bear who comes to life.
It's about a man and his teddy bear.
Oh, my God. Two disastrous consequences, of course.
Here's the best thing, though, and this is going to tell you what you need to know. Well, you know, Seth MacFarlane directed it and wrote it. That really tells you. But in case you didn't get that, the poster for it is a bathroom with two urinals, and he and the teddy bear are peeing at the urinals.
Yeah, right.
Okay, what more do we need to say? We're done.
I wonder if teddy bears can get urinary tract infections. And Seth is doing the voice of the bear, by the way, as if he was going to let anybody else do it.
Right.
And the supporting cast is all of the regulars in from the Seth universe. So Mila Kunis is in it. Patrick Warburton's in it. You're going to recognize a whole bunch of people here. So.
Yeah.
Other first-time directors this week, screenwriter Alex Kurtzman, whose partner Roberto Orci. The two of them have done Transformers and Star Trek and Hawaii Five-O and a whole litany of other things. The movie is called People Like Us, which stars Chris Pine and Elizabeth Banks and Olivia Wilde and Michelle Pfeiffer. It's about a guy who must deliver $150,000 of his father's inheritance to a sister he's never met.
Oh, that sounds like a fun trip.
So I think it's just a kind of a family comedy, very talky, very kind of postmodern Kevin Smith kind of thing. That's the vibe I got from the trailer.
Okay.
So we'll see how that does. And then Mr. Tyler Perry, the hardest working man in show business.
It's been like a whole month, hasn't it? See a Tyler Perry movie coming out.
And he's got theater going in Atlanta, and there's a brand new play of his that's coming to DVD this week.
Wait. And he's busy working filming.
Yes, he is.
The new Alex Cross movie.
That's right. I don't know how he does it. He and Ryan Seacrest are inhuman machines. But this one's called Medea's Witless Protection, or Witless Protection.
Oh, how Freudian was that slip?
Yeah. So, Eugene Levy is in this.
Yes. In place. And Denise Richards is in this.
And Doris Roberts.
Yes.
And John Amos and Marla Gibbs.
And Tom Arnold.
Oh, God. Oh, brother. So there's a Wall Street banker who gets in trouble and is going to expose the mob for the scam that he was running for them. And the government goes and places his family with Medea.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. So there's the comedy hijinks ensue.
That just is wonderful.
And you know what? And he's got an audience, and there's going to be a ton of people that are going to go
yep,
see this.
I was just going to say, you all let me know how it is, because there's no way in hell I'm seeing it, but I'm sure many, many of you will.
You know, in all honesty, I have to say I reviewed Medea's Christmas special last year or the year before for Verdict, and I didn't entirely hate it. I didn't. Okay. I swear I would never see one of these things, but there's a kernel of endearment that's buried within there, where he really has some positive messages and things to say.
All right.
So there's that.
Take your word for it.
Okay. Moving on to DVD and Blu-ray. If we head over to DVDverdict.com, click on the upcoming DVD releases tab, and head to the cover art gallery for June 26th.
All right. And one of the big releases this week is 21 Jump Street.
Ah, the remake.
Yes. Well, yeah.
The feature film adaptation
The television series. It's different characters. It's the same basic premise. And talking about Channing Tatum.
Right.
This was the first thing I had seen him in, and I was really impressed. It's him and Jonah Hill playing undercover cops. And they talk about a little bit of a heart in the movie.
Yeah.
This actually has some. It's not just stupid comedy or action. It's kind of smart writing and endearing heart to it, too.
Yeah.
So I was very pleasantly surprised when I saw that in the theater.
Good.
So if you kind of missed it, 'cause you just thought it was going to be stupid. I mean, it is stupid, but there's more to it than that. You can check it out on DVD and Blu-ray this week.
Okay. Well, Tatum may have a career for himself yet.
Yeah.
The Oscar-winning silent film / musical starring Jean Dujardin and Bernice Bougeau, The Artist, is finally coming to DVD and Blu-ray this week.
Yeah, that's kind of a long time waiting.
It is. I don't know why the delay, because everything else in that time frame has been out for quite a while now.
Right. Oh, well.
Great movie. I mean, it is the darker version of Singing in the Rain, so it's not entirely original. I mean, I know there's people who swear up and down that it is, but if you know classic Hollywood musicals, there's plenty of stuff in there that you've seen before. But it's done in such a way that it's absolutely magnificent to watch, and everyone involved did a great job. So I would highly suggest checking that out if you have not seen it.
All right. For all you kids at heart, Best of He-Man and Masters of the Universe.
Woo-hoo!
DVD, it's 20 episodes. So 20 of the best.
Which isn't saying much, because that show was just, wow.
Yes.
How do you pick the best out of that stuff? It's kind of randomly throw darts at a board and say, all right, here you go. Orko does this.
Are so getting the email feedback. This
I know.
This never be off.
Speaking of kids, Wrath of the Titans. The hastily assembled 3D sequel to the box office blockbuster remake of the 1981 Cheese Fest, which starred some fantastic stop-motion animation by Ray Harryhausen. The original, not the new one.
Yeah.
There's that. If you like bombastic CGI battles, there you go.
All right. And if you like fairy tales, Mirror Mirror, the Julia Roberts.
Yes, Snow White.
Snow White, kind of the light one, not the dark one that's in theaters now. Mm.
And if you like Eddie Murphy train wrecks and watching his career devolve into nothing, there's 1,000 Words this week.
Okay.
About a guy who only has 1,000 words to say before he dies or something like that. And he has to be very careful how he chooses them.
Alrighty then. Another train wreck, Casablanca, the complete series. This was actually a TV series, a movie. It's an 80s series starring David Soul.
Shut up.
As Rick. Yep. And okay. Hector Elizondo was in this, along with Ray Liotta.
Oh, my God. How did I not know about this?
At all. But if you do and you're a fan, you can watch it all on DVD this week.
Wow. Maybe people just completely blocked it out. It's one of those events that was so traumatic that nobody wanted to talk about it ever again.
Well, somebody obviously did because they pulled it out of the vaults and put it on a disc.
Wow. They're running out of things to put on DVD. And if you are ready for The Dark Knight Rises, the Christopher Nolan Blu-ray collection, which is kind of, again, we talk about hastily assembled. I think Warner Brothers kind of said, oh, crap, we've got this stuff. We can put it into a box set and get it into people's hands before the movie comes out.
Oh, yeah.
Without a lot of fanfare. So it's just a bunch of Chris Nolan films, I mean, really good Chris Nolan films, kind of crammed into a DVD or Blu-ray set for you to watch. If you don't own them, go pick them up because it's not expensive. Okay, well, as always, DVD Verdict benefits from you guys spending some time on these pages, and if you so choose to order through Amazon, we are greatly appreciative. If you prefer streaming media, let's over to Netflix this week, where it's all genre-based stuff. So we've got horror in the form of Eli Roth's torture porn franchise, Hostel, where Hostel Part 3 goes to Las Vegas.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Yep. We've got Poltergeist 2, which after the first one completely shattered my tiny little sixth grade mind and didn't allow me to sleep for weeks. I wasn't about to see the second one. We've got The Exorcist 2, which I don't think had anything to do with the first or the third one. I think it was, if I remember correctly, it was like set in Africa or something really strange like
with
that.
The swarms of locusts?
Yes.
Is that the one?
Yes. Bizarre.
Yeah. Yeah. This apocalyptic whatever.
Yeah. Sci-fi stuff, Luc Besson's cult classic, The Fifth Element with Bruce Willis, Mila Jovovich, and Chris Tucker. Okay. And we were talking about Alex Kurtzman a minute ago, Transformers Dark of the Moon. And please don't sit through this again if you don't have to, because it was bad enough the first time. Let me spoil it for you. Rosie Huntington-Wheatley, the girl who took over for Megan Fox, hinges the entire plot. Everything you see up to that point means nothing because she says three sentences to Megatron and it changes the entire film and ends it right there. Pisses me off.
Thanks a lot.
Pisses me off. If you want to see Chicago destroyed, though, go see it because it looks fantastic and you've never seen it anything like that before. If you're looking for a story, forget it. And the parents, Kevin Dunn, I love you, but you suck in this movie. The writing is horrible and I can't stand the annoying comedic parents.
Oh, tell us how you really feel about it.
Okay. All right. Breathe. And then for culture. PBS's Upstairs, Downstairs. You were talking about Downton Abbey.
Yeah.
Here is the precursor. The entire series is available on Netflix this week. Moving over to Hulu. It's all Criterion goodness. All classic, really impressive art house films. Juliette Binoche stars in Krzysztof Kieślowski's critically acclaimed franchise, The Three Colors. The first film in that series is called Blue. And that is available on Criterion on Hulu this week. We've also got Harikari, which is Masaki Kobayashi's planned suicide of an honorable Ronin samurai gone awry. Director Takashi Miike is actually, there's a remake of it, and the trailer was just released this week. So the remake is coming. So if you want to see the original, I think it was 1962. Oh, yeah. And I know I'm going through these fast. So if you'd like to say something to any of these, please just jump in on me now. And then the other one is Louis Malle's 1958 tale of lust and revenge, Elevator to the Gallows, which is another really gripping drama in classic black and white. And you know, Hulu has a ton of Criterion stuff. So if you ever really want to get educated on cinema, head over to Hulu.
They do. And every week now, Kevin Smith is pointing out a specific Criterion movie.
Shut up.
He has the original show on Hulu called Spoilers.
Yeah.
Which I'm a big Kevin Smith fan, and I kind of sat there and scratched my head during it. But it's on Hulu. It's every week. And he actually takes a group of people, just regular Joe Schmoes, to the movies to see a new movie. And then they come back to the studio and spoil it. And talk about it. And then he has like a famous guest he talks to. And then he recommends a Criterion movie.
Oh, Okay, well, these aren't regular Joe Schmoes. These are people who live in Los Angeles, right?
Okay, well, that's true.
Yeah, so they're not exactly a cross-section of American culture.
All right, well, good point. But anyhow, if you don't know where to start, every week he kind of points one out, and it's kind of highlighted on Hulu.
Oh.
Which one it is.
Maybe we'll include the link in the show notes for you guys to check that out. And then over at Amazon Instant, of course, you get all the latest DVD and Blu-ray releases if you are an Amazon Prime customer. TV series available this week, BBC's Life on Mars, which I cannot recommend highly enough. This show, and again, it was a limited run, but this damn thing blew my mind. They did an American remake, which was good. It was Harvey Keitel and Jason O'Mara, but not nearly as good as the original. Dennis Leary's Rescue Me, first season, which you and I both loved that show. For as much as we watched it, I fell away from it probably in the third or fourth season. And then the original 21 Jump Street. So,
well, there you go.
You want to check out what all the fuss was about. For movies, we've got Will Smith's 6 Degrees of Separation with Donald Sutherland. We've got Gary Sinise and John Malkovich and John Steinbeck's Of Mice and Men.
Yes.
Not as good as the Burgess Meredith Lon Chaney Jr. version, but still incredibly compelling. And then Liam Neeson in Rob Roy, which is another historical epic. So that's all for me. I'm kicking it over to you for TV and whatnot.
Okay. TV, we're kind of still stuck with all the bad reality shows. But also, very interesting, NBC, all week at 8 o'clock Eastern and Pacific, and then you can do the math, they are showing Olympic trials.
Ooh, nice.
Because that's coming up in about a month. So that, and then like Saturday, they've got a bunch of finals and stuff. So yeah, you can kind of get a taste already of the Olympics. It's all the U.S., so we'll find out who our athletes are going to be that are representing us.
Very nice.
But yeah, all week if you get it. Kind of.
I believe the opening ceremonies are July 27th.
Yep.
And our friend Mr. Rod Lee will be in London for the Olympics this year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Maybe we can make him like a correspondent.
Maybe we could.
How cool.
Yeah.
All right. Anyhow, the other big thing, ABC on Wednesday has a new show.
Cool.
It's a reality show, but not quite like all the dating ones that are on. It's called Final Witness, and it's actually a true crime series, and they follow like horrible murder cases for the hour. It sounds like something that should be kind of an A&E.
Yeah, I was going to say, is it hosted by Bill Curtis?
Yeah, no, but it's – so if you're kind of into that stuff – like that, like investigative reports and cold case, this and that. You can check that out on ABC Wednesday night.
Yeah.
So, and music this week, there is a band I have said more than once. I'm like, what's happened to them? They were really great. I really like them. Well, guess what? They have a new album and it's Everclear.
Oh, nice.
Finally. It's been like 6 years. It's called Invisible Stars and it's new material from them. And also new material from Blues Traveler.
Shut up. I was just thinking about whatever happened to John Popper.
Exactly. Well, they were been recording an album lately. It's called Susie Cracks the Whip. And it's new stuff from them. Linkin Park has a new album called Living Things.
God, it's like old home week around here.
Exactly. And Maroon 5 has a new album called Overexposed.
Jeez. You know, and I was watching on the plane ride back from Boston last week, I was watching, I love the 80s because JetBlue has these little TVs on the back of their seats.
Okay.
And Adam Levine was on there with his buddy from Maroon 5, and he doesn't look like anything like the Adam Levine that we know today. It's like he's made this transformation from geeky guy to like rock star god. And
exactly.
Oh, weird.
Exactly. So. The Flaming Lips also have a new album.
Oh, my God.
The Flaming Lips and Hedy Fwends. Yeah, like F-W-E-N-D-S. It's cute. But on this album, it's all their friends. Yoko Ono.
Oh, my God.
Nick Cave. Kesha.
Oh, my. Holy.
So them and all these, you know, kind of guest stars on their album.
Wow.
Yeah. And then Evita, new Broadway cast recording.
Ah, Ricky Martin.
Which is Ricky Martin playing Che. And the interesting thing about this is Elena Roger is playing Evita on Broadway and then therefore on the album. But she is the first Argentinian Evita on Broadway.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
You mean Patti LuPone wasn't Argentinian?
No, really? No way. Huh. Okay. And guess what? What? Neither was Madonna.
Oh, no. Horrors.
So in books this week, we have a few memoirs coming out, including The Letter, My Journey Through Love, Loss, and Life by Marie Tillman. Mm-hmm. And you may not recognize her name, but you will recognize her husband's name, Pat Tillman. He was the NFL player who left to join the Army and go to Afghanistan and was killed.
Oh, yeah.
And I guess before he left, he wrote her a letter.
Oh, shit.
And left it for her in case something should happen. So it's her talking about him and what the letter means to her and just her life through that.
Okay.
So I'm sure it's very touching and heartbreaking, but hopefully uplifting story too. Talking about heartbreaking, sorry for all the downers this week, but Amy, My Daughter by Mitch Winehouse.
Oh, boy.
Coming out this week too, obviously. Amy Winehouse's father.
Yeah.
Writing about her. So, whew, okay. Well, hopefully onto uplifting here. There's a book called Yes, Chef by Marcus Samuelson. And he was one of the winners of Bravo's Top Chef.
Oh.
But his story is extremely interesting. He was born in Ethiopia and was placed in an orphanage after his mother died from tuberculosis.
Oh, my God.
And then was adopted. And after he became famous, he went back and tried to find his roots and his family, and he actually found his father.
Wow.
So this isn't just about cooking and reality TV.
Okay.
There's a lot more to his story.
Wow.
So for fans of him from Bravo, or just if this sounds interesting to you, you can, check out Yes Chef, this week at your local store, if you happen to have one in your area.
Yeah. So. They're not all closed down. Jeez.
Or, you know, on Amazon.
Yes. Right.
So, and theater, ready for my big fancy schmancy highbrow discussion?
Yes.
There's a new play opening at the Geffen Playhouse in LA. Very famous, very well known.
Great space, too.
Yeah, and it will probably be moving to New York this fall.
Okay.
It hasn't been set in stone yet. It stars Richard Chamberlain and Brooke Shields.
What?
And it is The Exorcist.
What?
I am not making this shit up, people. Really. It's The Exorcist, based on the movie.
So, Brooke is playing the Ellen Burstyn role?
Yep.
Holy mother of God.
And, you know, the priest. And, yeah. And ready for this? The creative consultant on this?
Yes.
Teller. From Penn and Teller.
Oh, my God. Well, for the special effects.
Exactly.
Because they're going to have the kid run around like a spider and spit pea soup and turn her. Oh, my. Why are they doing this?
I don't know. Someone obviously thought it was a good idea.
Okay, just for people who may not know, the Geffen is actually run by the people who own the Steppenwolf Theater Company in Chicago.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's very highly respected. This isn't like some storefront or barn they're doing this in.
Somebody has lost their mind.
I don't know. Anybody in LA, it's only running for just over a month this summer.
Why am I out of town when this is going on?
Someone, I will buy your ticket for you to go, like, see this for me and report back.
God. This is just wrong on so many levels.
I thought so, too. But obviously, some really talented people think it's a good idea.
Oh, wow.
All righty, then.
Wow.
Let's move on to what else is horrible in the world besides The Exorcist actually being on stage?
Actually, probably the most horrible news this week, in all seriousness, is that Sharon and Ozzy Osbourne's son, Jack, has been diagnosed with multiple sclerosis.
Yeah, this is really sad. And he just recently, his fiance had their first child.
Right. And Jack has had his problems with drugs, right, with the and, law, with...
Yeah, with lots of things. And obviously, he's finally really gotten it together in lots of ways.
Yeah.
You know, he's in love. He has a baby. He's doing well. He's working. He's producing film. You know, really got his act together. And then, you know, life kind of threw this at him.
Now, MS is not a death sentence.
It is not. And it can be fairly mild or it can be extremely severe.
Right.
That completely affects your functioning.
Richard Pryor suffered from it. And Annette Funicello, who's still around... is suffering from it. It's right. It's a very debilitating disease because your body kind of loses control of everything.
Yeah.
So, much like what Michael J. Fox is going through with, and Muhammad Ali with Parkinson's.
Yeah.
But for somebody so young, and, you know, it's just, it's terrible. And I was in the grocery store and saw Sharon's picture on the front of one of the magazines mm-hmm. saying, "I will not let my son die," kind of thing. So it's, yeah, it's really,
yeah,
it sucks.
Yeah. Sad news. So,
and other surprising news, Alex Trebek, Mr. Jeopardy himself, was hospitalized this weekend with a mild heart attack. He's expected to make a full recovery. The surprise here is I didn't know he was 71 years old.
Yeah.
He doesn't look 71.
But Jeopardy is going, and they're saying he should be fine to begin shooting later this summer of the 29th season of Jeopardy.
Damn.
Holy cannoli.
And our own Judge Michael Rankins, he's a Jeopardy champion, if you did not know that. If you want to go back and read his reviews, please do, because the man is highly intelligent and extremely talented.
Well, obviously, if he can hold his own with Alex Trebek.
Yeah, this is true. And he just got married, by the way. So congrats to Michael and his wife.
Well, there you go. There's our big Hollywood news. Michael Rankin.
There you go.
Just got married.
Other Hollywood news. The Today Show and NBC are making a giant mess of themselves in the public. Talk about a PR debacle.
Yeah.
What the hell is going on?
I don't know. It looks like Ann Curry is going to be out. And supposedly they offered Meredith Vieira to come back, and she turned them down.
But like some sick amount of money. And yeah. It was a public offer. So if you're Ann Curry sitting there going, what? Hello? Remember me? You know, I was the big heir apparent. And I know that the complaint is that she has no chemistry with Matt Lauer, and they just signed Matt Lauer to a new contract.
Right. So, of course, the guy gets to stay and the girl's got to go.
Yeah. And she was the highly respected news person to begin with, right?
I brought her over. I think they're idiots because I adore Ann Curry.
Whatever. Maybe the CNN's got a place for her.
And it's not just because she looks just like my friend Caroline. Okay, maybe it's a little bit of it. But no, I love Ann Curry and I will be sad to see her go.
I don't know. Maybe they can bring Kathy Lee Gifford and she can do the, you know.
Yeah, they can just move her up because she's so with it and on top of things and doesn't say embarrassing things too much.
Make for interesting television. Speaking of interesting television and NBC, season 2 of Smash, which will be a mid-season replacement, is ramping up their casting. They have jettisoned half the cast from the first season, but the big celebrity that's going to be on this year is going to be Jennifer Hudson.
Right, and with Catherine McPhee, and they're both Idol.
That's right, American Idol. So Jennifer will be playing kind of the diva that sets out to ruin the life of Karen and Ivy. So we'll see how that plays out.
Yes.
Nicholas Refn, the director of Drive, is developing Jane Fonda's cult classic Barbarella for television.
Okay, then.
Yeah
that's going to work well.
Yeah, it just arrived on Blu-ray this past week, and if you want to check that out and see what it's all about. But yeah, Hollywood is so starved for originality that they're going back to everything that's even remotely recognizable to people, and it just pisses me off to no end. Speaking of pissing people off, Charlie Sheen is going to play the U.S. president in Robert Rodriguez's sequel to Machete.
Okay, then.
Yeah, I wonder if they're going to call him like Jed Bartlett Jr. or something like that.
We'll see.
Despite the rumors that MGM was going to reboot the Chucky franchise, Universal is actually beating them to the punch because I guess they still have the rights and they're going to produce a new direct-to-DVD sequel this fall called The Curse of Chucky.
Okay.
And finally, on an upbeat note, David Wayne's next project is going to be a rom-com spoof called They Came Together. And of course...
I'm sorry.
Right? I know. It works on a number of levels, and it's really funny.
That is quite brilliant. I want to see it for the title.
So it already has a whole cast of familiar faces. Amy Poehler, Michael Ian Black, Ed Helms, Kobe Smulders, and now Chris Maloney is going to play Paul Rudd's boss as the evil CEO of Corporate Co. Corporation.
Corporate Co. Excellent.
So if you love the States, and I guess Dave Johnson was talking about these guys are doing a short-lived – it's a web series, an internet series, or a TV series. It's called Burning Love, which makes spoofs The Bachelor.
Right, right. Yeah, it's like all the dating show stuff, and it's Ken Marino starring in it.
Yeah, so. Kristen Bell's in it too, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right, so that's it for me this week.
Okay. Well, Kardashian / Humphries news. Chris Humphries has a really freaking big mouth, I guess. And he said all this crap to this girl he's been dating. And now they've broken up, so she's sharing what she said to her.
Write a book or something?
No, oh, but it's coming out. And actually, she just got subpoenaed in their divorce. So,
Humphries. What?
Well, one of the things, supposedly, he accused Kris Jenner of staging Kim's sex tape and, like, making her reshoot it because it wasn't good enough. Which, you know what, to be honest, I would not put that past her.
I would not put it past her either. This woman is shrewd.
Yeah. And the other thing, supposedly, he says he knew it was doomed from the beginning, the marriage, because he knew she had cheated on him with Kanye West because he's a really close family friend, is how they kept referring to him, but didn't invite him to the wedding.
You know what? Any male who comes anywhere near the orbit of the Kardashian family needs only look at Bruce Jenner and then run the other direction.
Yeah.
Because this poor man who was an Olympic athlete has been reduced to one of the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, complete with melting plastic surgery face. And
Yeah, you really can't say he didn't know what he was getting himself into.
Yeah.
But anyhow, the saga continues.
Yeah, great. And on that bombshell, we will wrap up this week. But thank you for tuning in. We will be back next week with even more really insightful, hard-hitting entertainment news.
Yeah, exactly.
Until then, Melissa Ann, take it away.
Baby, I don't want to say goodbye. So I'm standing here, wondering why. Just don't want to see when you cry. So I'ma say goodbye.